Welcome to the Mickey Mom Show. I'm your host, Anna Eason, joined by my other host, Leah Stover. How you doing on this beautiful, beautiful evening?
It is so beautiful. We have a fire going, but we really technically wouldn't need it if we weren't super wimpy.
Yeah. No, but it is
beautiful.
It is. It is a beautiful evening, and like, you can have a light fire going in the outdoor fire pit.
Yeah, it is a little fire.
Yeah.
And I feel okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a perfect mountain evening.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what?
What?
I only have 2.5 more days
Woo-hoo!
Of school.
We have two.
They have to go the whole day?
They do.
On day two?
They do. Yeah. And so Taylor has her final exam, her last exam ever at Shining Rock on Tuesday morning.
Okay.
And then Molly and Emery get to watch the talent show in the morning. And then in the afternoon is the students versus teachers basketball game or something. I don't know. That did not end well last year. So,
somebody get hurt?
No. There was just some arguing or something.
Oh.
But, yeah. I don't know. That is a story for another time and another platform.
Okay. All right. My whole thing is just stay home. Just give them that day off. If you're just going to go there and do a talent show and a basketball game, just let them stay home.
Yeah. And
cut that one out.
There's a shipping delay on the yearbooks, so they're coming in the day after school gets out. So, like,
they're going to have to go back.
Yeah, and they're going to have their – they don't even get their friends to sign their yearbooks.
Oh, I see. That stinks.
I know.
I see. I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. So, now that they're not getting yearbooks, I actually might not make them go.
What's the point?
Yeah.
Here's the teacher saying,
"Yeah,
what's the point?"
Oh, I had another teacher tell me on Tuesday.
I mean, why?
Or Monday. Yeah, your child is done.
Yeah.
So they don't technically have to come back.
I'm just babysitting right now. That is all I'm doing is babysitting duty.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And today I only had one child go to school because Molly went to Dollywood yesterday and rode the new bear ride.
So she stayed home.
Yeah, so she stayed home today. And she did get to ride the new bear ride at Dollywood. She said it was not good.
All right.
And now she's saying that as a Disney and Universal diehard. Who loves theming.
Yeah.
And she's like, literally all they're saying in your ear, because it has audio in the car.
Okay.
And she's like, it's an orange brown track and you're in a car and they're saying to you, let's go catch that bear. And there are no trees or anything. Like they didn't plant
anything.
And so she's like, it was not great. And it wasn't even, it was supposed to be probably similar to like, let's say a Slinky Dog with the different launches. And she was like, but it wasn't as good.
So it's not an adult coaster, it's a family coaster.
It's a
family coaster. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And she loves family coasters. Like she loves Slinky Dog.
Well,
like,
because it's fun.
But. Yeah. She loves Big Thunder. And she was like.
So it's not super fast or anything like that. It's a family. Okay.
Yeah. It's a family coaster. And because there was no, you know, landscaping and the theming around it just isn't there yet. She was like, eh.
I'm interested to hear some of those podcasts, like Super Enthused, and what their take on it is. Because they love roller coasters and they go to all the different ones and they love Dollywood. It'd be interesting to hear from somebody that is not just. Like, they like coasters, so I would like to hear what they have to say about it. We like Disney. We like Universal because of the theming.
Yeah.
So I'm the same way. When I go to Dollywood, I'm like, oh, man, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
It's all about the theming. I just want to see the Disney and the Universal stuff.
Yeah. And I love Dollywood is great for what it is. But
cinnamon bread.
Oh, she brought me home 2 loaves.
Cinnamon bread. Oh, did she really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I had it today for breakfast and again as an afternoon snack.
That's good.
Yeah, the cinnamon bread is worth a season pass alone.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Dollywood, to be a local park, for what it is great. Do I think it is on the same level as Disney or Universal? No.
Well, definitely not. Yeah.
But it keeps
beating.
Yeah, it is cute. But it keeps beating them in like all those competitions or theme park competitions or whatever. Like it's getting, but I think it's also because people just who live here really like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think when I go there the whole time, I'm thinking, here's my thing. I figured this out finally. I enjoy Dollywood as long as I have a Disney trip planned in the near future.
Okay.
Because I know, hey, I'm at a theme park. This is awesome. Look how cute this is. This is fun.
Yeah, it's precious.
It's awesome. It's I'm going to eat this bread, and I'm super happy.
Yeah.
Also, next month, I'm going to be in Disney. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
But I realized that when I don't have a Disney trip planned in the near future, mm-hmm. I about said a bad word. Like, I'm mad when I'm there. Like, I was bitter. Like, you know, I'm walking around, and I'm like, okay, you seem like a spoiled brat. But I'm irritated.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't have a Disney trip planned. I'm going here to this theme park, and I don't get to go to Disney anytime
soon. Well, for a few years, like, before we were DVC and we were doing just every other year, like, we were...
Dollywood
was
passholders.
Our... Yeah, yep. Yeah, yep. That was our in-between year, and... Yeah, and now I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'll just drive the 10 hours down to Florida. Mm-hmm. Oh, my brother-in-law is in Ocala for a family reunion with his wife.
Yeah.
And they're an hour from Disney.
And they're not going.
They're not going. Because, well, I mean, they're only there for 2 days. But still, like. Well,
we would go.
Oh, yeah.
Even if we needed to just walk into a park and ride a ride and get back in the car.
Exactly. But they're not pass holders, so they can't really do that. Yeah. But. Yeah, I was like, man, you're so close.
That's a shame.
Yeah. But, all right, so let me thank our sponsors real quick. Thank you to our sponsor, Sunburst Trout Farm, this third-generation trout farm located in picturesque Haywood County, North Carolina. Grows and processes rainbow trout fillets, caviar, smoked trout, and more. Find this and other local products at sunbursttrout.com. So we have a lot to talk about today. So the title of this show is Drop It Like It's Hot. News, dining, and packages, because holy guacamole did Disney drop it like it's hot.
They did. So, they really, really did.
Yeah. So the first thing, we'll start with the easy stuff, and then we're just going to kind of keep going.
Okay.
But we are getting a live action Little Mermaid meet and greet starting May 26th, which Emery is actually super excited for. Like, she actually wants to go and meet her.
Okay. Where are they putting her?
Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney Presents. So where they moved Sully out of, where he was meeting, they're putting her in there.
So.
And where Moana was.
So when we met. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to throw this in there.
Yes.
Normally, when there is a new movie coming out, they do the preview there. And they're doing her meet and greet there starting on the 26th.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they're going to have that preview going there or if they will have it swapped over to Elemental when we get there.
That'd be cool.
I know. Because those previews are extended previews.
Yeah.
So they actually
show. It's the first 10 minutes of the movie.
They actually show a nice portion of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've seen a lot like there and I love it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It shouldn't be that exciting.
No, but it
but
is.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really hoping for either a Little Mermaid or an Elemental.
Well, we will have already seen Little Mermaid by the time we go.
Right, but I still want to watch it.
Well, yeah.
When we're in the park.
Yeah. I'm so excited for that movie.
Yeah. I think that by the time we get there, it would be Elemental.
Yeah, because it would be coming out in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I'm pulling for.
Yeah. I'm worried about for Elemental coming out because right before it is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And right after it is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Yeah.
And then there's another one. There's like four big movies coming out within a month of each other.
The Flash is the day after.
Yeah, and The Flash. So it's The Flash. It's Into the Spider-Verse, Indiana Jones, Elemental. Maybe there's another. Maybe there's a fifth. I don't know. There's like four big movies all coming out at the same time. And I'm really hoping they don't like cannibalize each other.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited because when's the last time that you can say four really big movies are coming out right behind each other?
It's been a very long time. And you know what? It's going to be a very long time before it happens again because of the writer's strike. All these movies are on hold.
Yeah, that's true.
So like, I'm kind
of... there's going to be like a gap.
Yeah. I'm really wishing that they would start pushing out the movies actually instead of having them all come out in June because we're not going to have movies next year.
Yeah.
So...
That's sad.
Yeah. But
come on, Anna. Keep it positive.
I am keeping it positive.
I'm the negative one.
I'm saying I want them to push the movies out so that they don't cannibalize each other and so we have things to watch in a year from now.
All right.
Like,
all right,
that's me, like, looking forward-looking and trying to make light of a not great situation. Okay. So anyway, also the new Pixar area is open with the Edna Mode experience. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. That, I saw the first video of people in there and it looks so cool.
It's cute, right?
They have like all the, they have like the costumes, like, you know, she designed, and you can meet Edna Mode and you can meet Sully and Mr. and Mrs. Incredible and Frozone. And it is so cool. Mm-hmm. Like, because we never got to see any of the characters in there, because in 2019, by the time we got there, they'd only had them for the summer, and they were gone because they ended, like, September 30th. And, you know, we got there, like, around October 1st or whatever. Yeah. So we missed them by, like, a few days.
Gotcha.
And then, but yeah, so that was, or maybe we missed them by a month. I don't know, but we missed them, whatever. Yeah. So I'm really excited for that. To be back. I mean, it's a meet and greet, but it's something else to do.
Yeah, and crowd. It's going to pull people out of lines into those lines.
Yep.
So ride lines, you know, anything that opens is pulling people from ride lines into other lines.
And it just makes it more manageable for everyone.
And, you know, the crowds are thinned because they have places to be.
Yep. So. Yep. Yeah, so that's, I'm excited. So, all right. So then the next thing is that the Lake Nona Imagineering campus has been canceled. So they were originally, this was announced back in, I don't know, 2020.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That they were going to move Imagineering, the like parks, experiences, and products to Florida, which, well, you know, you're sad that people have to move from their homes, but I was excited for Disney World because, like, we're kind of treated like the redheaded
stepchild. Then maybe we would get some cool stuff.
Yeah, because we're kind of treated like the redheaded stepchild. Yeah. Like, we finally got
I want to have a nighttime parade.
Yeah. And we finally got some cool stuff for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway because it opened in California.
And then they sent us some merchandise, too. And it's good merchandise.
Yeah, I want that picnic basket.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
So, like, I was really excited for that, for us to get a little more love. But, you know, politics aside or whatever, I mean, it's because of what's happening. I think that's part of it. It's not the complete story because a lot of Imagineers didn't want to move.
Yeah. I think there's probably a lot of pushback because those people, that's where their lives are in California. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people having to move.
Yep.
So, I mean, the right thing to do is to not move them.
Right.
That's the right thing to
do. Yeah, it is. And, you know, and somebody, I read something today, wouldn't it be amazing if they put, like, a satellite campus so they could have a small, like, group of Imagineers who could step up for World?
Yeah.
Which would be really cool.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would like to get a little more love on the East Coast because we pay the bills. Yeah. Disneyland doesn't pay the bills. World pays the bills. Yeah. So.
That's true. I'm going to add a log to the fire.
Okay.
Good thing my cord's long.
Yeah. So I think, you know, so that's that. And we'll see what happens in the future. You know, things could change. Things could shift. They could, you know, again, separate stuff out, whatever. The next thing is that, and I'm actually really sad about this, is that the Star Cruiser is permanently closing on October 1st.
What makes you so sad about that?
Because I really wanted to do it.
Tell me what makes you sad. You had plans of going into that thing.
I mean, in a few years after we, like, didn't have to put kids through college.
Were you not going to take them?
Well, no.
Is that your plan?
I don't know. We were going to hopefully do it. I really wanted to do it.
Because there's five of you. So who are you?
I mean, it was going to be like
voting off the island.
I mean, it was going to be $8,000. That's why we didn't do it.
Who's staying home?
But, like, I really wanted to
tell me which one of your kids is staying home.
I don't know. The one that doesn't like Star Wars. that would be Taylor.
Oh, man.
But, you know, I mean, but, like, it was such a cool thing that I really wanted to be able to do later on down the road when, you know, we've done other things and could afford it and circle back around to it. Because it is hard to pay $5,000 for a two-night experience.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. You've not seen the western part of the United States.
Yeah. I can say that I thought it was, like stupid.
Really?
Yes.
But that's just, there's a, I think that there is a certain group of people that don't want to be forced into doing things.
Right.
Like, I don't want to pay you $5,000 to stay for two nights, so that way you tell me every second of the day where I have to be and what I have to do, and then you want me to role play and pretend I'm... I love Star Wars. I love it. But I don't want to go there and have somebody forcing me.
Yeah, as Pete Warner says, mandatory fun.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't like... Maybe I don't like mandatory fun. Now that I would think about it, I don't. I don't want somebody, like, you know, when you go to those trainings and the meetings and they make you role play and stuff.
I hate
that. I don't want to do that.
But I like that kind of role playing. But
I just feel like that's what that would be. And I don't want to have, like, I don't want somebody dictating my vacation if I'm giving you $5,000.
Yeah. And I mean, I think my thing is I would have maybe jumped on it a little more had it been a three-night experience. And
you could have
slowed it down.
Yeah.
Because we get tired really easily. Like, we don't stay up late like that. And in order to get all of my money out of it, I would have been awake for 48 hours straight.
Yeah, but think about that. You're paying $5,000 for a two-day vacation.
Yeah. That's like, what I'm saying.
That's an entire week vacation.
I mean, that's what we're going to pay to probably go out to California for, like, a week and a half.
Right.
So.
So I don't know. For me, I just kind of thought, I don't know. I just never really saw the appeal, I guess. And when you're charging that amount of money, not all Star Wars fans have that kind of money.
Yeah, no, and I agree with all those points. Yeah. I did really want it to stick around because I thought it was pretty cool and I wanted to do it, but I didn't want to do it in the next probably like 5 years because. I got other things I need to spend five to $8,000 on first.
Yeah, no, I know.
$5,000 to $8,000 is also more DVC points that I would be able to use for like 40 years,
right? Instead of just one weekend.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I kept coming back to is like I want some more points.
But do you know that most of the other people in the world were having the same thing?
Yeah,
and that's why it's closing.
Yeah,
but I mean, the good thing about it closing is that. They're not just going to scrap it.
I don't know.
It's probably going to turn into some sort of Star Wars hotel.
No, it can't be a hotel because it doesn't have, but it's they only could 100
add on.
Rooms.
Right, but they could add on to it. So
maybe.
Then you've got, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they can make it into a hotel.
So I just, here's my thing. I wonder, you know, because the Stargate and tacos are gone out of Epcot.
Yeah.
And they actually had to literally destroy them in order for them to be a tax write-off.
Right.
And because they are bleeding so much money and they need all the tax write-offs to get as much money as possible, I wonder if they're actually going to tear it down as a tax write-off.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I have no idea, but like... Yeah. If they said tomorrow or, you know, October 1st that they are literally going to tear it down, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. And I mean, which is always a possibility. I don't know. I just kind of feel like the appeal of Star Wars and a Star Wars hotel is there.
Yeah. Oh,
Lots of people would do that.
Yeah.
Minus the, I'm going to lock you in here for 2 days and you got to do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
And smile when you're doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that, I don't know. I just think that there's a need for that. There's a want for that.
I mean, they would have to add a pool.
Absolutely.
And then they would have to add more rooms because 100 rooms is not sustainable.
It would be too expensive once again.
Right.
It would be too expensive.
Yeah.
So you've got to add more.
Right. And I don't know that it's...
But if you think about it, they could add just like a tower or they could add something.
Yeah.
And then those rooms would be less expensive than the deluxe rooms.
Or they
that
just make
are,
a DVC tower that's Star Wars themed and then everybody buys into it and they make money.
I actually thought about that today about like if that would be a possibility for DVC to buy just because it has those themed rooms. You could charge points for it.
Mm-hmm.
People would buy into it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and especially because if you built a tower, you would see over into Hollywood Studios.
Right.
Oh, look at what you just did.
I don't know. I just, but that's actually what I was thinking about too.
No,
is
that's
that
fantastic?
You could throw up a tower.
Yeah, and
easily.
It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to sell DVC as much as they can, because when you have DVC, it makes money. And then they don't have to pay for anything because our dues pay for
are paying for
we
it.
We pay for
it. It's self-sustaining because, you know, other people are paying for it. I don't know. It's just...
No, that is a fantastic
thought. I mean, maybe that would just
be
too good to be true. And so that's where it comes from. But,
yeah, but
I think it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd stay there.
Absolutely.
I'd buy more direct points to stay there.
Yeah.
Because it would be a direct point contract.
Because you would have to. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You would have to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be worth it.
It would. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Sidebar. kind of on the same track, though. The transient tax thing out in California, is that just a California thing?
It's also at Alani.
But I mean, okay, but that's just the state. The state chooses to have that tax?
The town of Anaheim.
Okay.
City of Anaheim.
Okay. So it's just one of those things.
It's a transient tax. So we actually, in theory, kind of pay transient tax everywhere we go when we rent hotel rooms, because it's the city and county tax, it's the state tax, and then the county or city tax that you're in that's added to your hotel room. So like when you book a room at Disney and say it's $200, well, it's $200 plus 12.5% tax. Part of that tax is city tax or county tax, and the other part is state tax. So that is a transient tax. But see, what it is a transient tax in Alani, and most timeshares don't have to pay transient tax because we own the deeded real estate. But in Alani, they make you pay transient tax because it's an island and that's all they have. So like, and out there it's 3%.
They need to make their money somehow.
Exactly. So it's 3%. So it's like ends up being, I think, like
for 3%
of the point, based on the point
total
value.
Stay or on each, like, how do they?
Yeah. I mean, it's total points. So like, you know,
so per point you're paying
like a 3% based on the value of the point, which is the same thing in California. So, but in Alani, it only ends up being like $10 a night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not that big of a deal.
No.
Okay.
But in California, it's 15%. And so it is $2.82 per point. So if you're staying for a week, let's say, and it is 300 points, when you check out, you've got like a $700 bill.
Holy crap. So that's where all that money's coming from.
Yes.
Because I kept seeing all the people like complaining about it and talking about how, you know, much it is and blah, blah, blah. But I just couldn't figure out like why it ended up being that much.
Yeah, that's
what it, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's actually more at California than it is at the Alani.
Yes.
Because,
by a lot.
Okay.
And I think they have valued.
That's a lot.
I think they have valued the points higher in California versus Alani
as well. So is that anywhere that you stay?
No. So that's only
DVC.
No.
No.
No. So in California, you are paying that transient tax when you book a room, but it's just baked into the cost of your room, like when you stay at Disney.
So you're not getting like an extra bill at the end,
right? But you're getting extra bill at the end with DVC because it's not baked into the cost.
You're not paying.
It is baked into the cost of the Grand Californian, because the Grand Californian was negotiated differently. So their transient tax is actually only 50 cents a point, and so it's paid in the dues.
Oh. That's nice.
Yeah, but because the transient tax was going to be so much for the Disneyland Tower, the dues would have ended up being $12 a point, and so they pulled it out of the dues. And also that way, if you use your points outside of the Disneyland Tower, you don't have to pay that transient tax.
Would you have had to pay the transient tax if you used your points somewhere else?
If you use your Grand Californian points outside of Grand Californian, because the transient tax is in your dues, you're paying it no matter what.
Oh.
So that's why they pulled it out.
Okay. Okay. I gotcha.
So.
All right. Sorry. I got sidetracked.
It's fine.
I just.
Some people may not fully understand that concept.
It's
a very like weird thing with this new hotel. All
right. Okay. All right. Well, when they build the DVC tower at the Star Wars
you called it
hotel.
Because I haven't heard anybody else mention it.
When they do that, hopefully.
There won't be a transient tax because it's Florida.
Because it's Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great.
Yeah.
It's great. All right.
and Florida doesn't pay state income tax either.
Right.
So, like, there's that's, yeah. All right.
So I got very sidetracked.
No, it's fine. So let's get to like some of the other like big announcements, which is kind of the meat of our show tonight, which is that packages for 2024 are being released on May 31st. Actually, before we get to that, we're going to talk about a couple more things that I jumped too far down my list. Early entry and late night deluxe hours are staying.
Yep. Saw that.
So they also announced two new tickets for this summer. So we're going to jump back into 2023 real quick. They are doing a 4-park magic ticket, which is $99 a day, but you can only, you don't need park reservations, mm-hmm. but you can only go to each park one time.
So, okay, 4 days, but you're going to Epcot.
Right.
Magic.
Yep. Okay. And you can't go to Magic Kingdom twice. You can't go to Hollywood Studios twice.
One each.
4 days. So
but
like,
you don't have to pick what day you're going to each park.
Correct.
You can just wake up that morning and decide, yep. I want to go to Magic Kingdom today.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
So it's a really, you know, it's not a great concept for first timers.
That's not a bad deal, though. It's $99 a day.
Yeah. And if you go to Disney every year and you just wanted to go down to Disney for a couple days in the summer,
it's
and you were
deal.
Only going to spend one day at each park anyway, it's a great deal.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad deal at all.
Yeah. And it goes on sale May 23rd. And then the Florida Summer Magic ticket is back. And that is, if you're a Florida resident, is a fantastic deal because you're getting like a 4-day park hopper for like under $300.
Whoa. That is nice. It's a park hopper?
Yeah.
That is really good.
Yeah. It's like it is, it here, let me pull up the actual like specifics.
Yeah, that's a really good deal.
It's a Summer Magic, Florida Resident Summer Magic, and it is for a 4-day ticket. It ends up being $229 plus tax. And then you can add park hopper to it, so it'll end up being around like $300.
Okay, that's still, it's a great deal.
Yeah, and then a 3-day ticket is $209 plus tax. So then with a park hopper, you're going to be looking at around $250.
Much better deal to get the four-day.
$20. But like that.
Do you see what just happened about
did.
Fire?
Yeah, it's my fault. But
I stacked them there.
So basically, if you want to book a trip to Disney this summer, I would highly suggest it because it doesn't sound like it's going to be very busy.
So,
because that's why they're coming out with these deals. And
you have to use the tickets during
the
certain
summer.
Dates.
Yeah, during the summer.
Like before August or whatever, probably.
Before the 4-day, one park a day is to September 29th. And the other one is valid May 26th. Is valid all summer except for the holiday weekends.
That's not
so Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day.
That's not terrible though.
No, it is not. And yeah, I just basically like if you want to go to Disney right now and not have lots of crowds, this is your time to go.
It's your time to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, because we're as we were talking before we started recording, we're having like a minor little recession, I think, going on. And because when I search up hotels for the summer, because I always spot check to see, you know, when people are curious about, you know, booking and stuff. And you can book pretty much every hotel room all summer long. And that's not normal.
Yeah.
So.
So I feel like with booking rooms and stuff like that, like you could pretty much get whatever you wanted. I'm getting a little bit concerned with the whole dining reservations when that comes back. I think you're going to be able to book rooms, but I think dining is going to start getting really tricky.
Yeah, and we'll kind of get to that, but like
yeah.
But right now this summer, you can book pretty much anything for dining.
I know. When you click on it, that's my whole point. Yeah. Like right now, if you click on it, you could pretty much get anything that you wanted.
Yeah, Ohana, I clicked
Ohana's.
To like, because I was like, okay, well maybe if you guys are going on Friday morning, we'll try and get a reservation for Friday morning and we'll just see.
Yeah.
And then we have 3 Ohana reservations to decide from.
Yeah.
But
so do you have a search in?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I do.
Good.
But yeah, so now to the 2024 stuff. Packages open May 31st. Definitely if you want to book a trip, that's the day to do it. If you purchase a package, you no longer have to make theme park reservations as of 2024, January 9th, 2024.
Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah. And now APs will still have to make reservations. And if you have a non-dated ticket, so that's if you're military and you buy your tickets through Shades of Green, they are not dated. So you would have to make a reservation. If you have a... You can also buy non-dated tickets from Disney. You would have to buy a reservation. You would have to make a reservation.
You would have to make reservations if you got non-dated.
Right.
Okay.
If you got like a ticket for like a, I don't know, a like cheerleading competition or something, I think you have to make a reservation. So anything that is not dated, you still have to make a reservation, but everybody else, if you buy a package and you're going for 7 days and you buy a 4-day ticket, you do not have to make a reservation. You can wake up on Tuesday and say, today is the day I want to use one of my tickets. So.
Okay. Which is great.
Yeah.
I do feel like people are kind of held back just because they don't want to have to plan that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I can't be the only human being on the planet that does not want to have to think ahead and decide where I want to start my day.
Yeah.
There have to be other people that don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Which is why I think they're getting rid of the reservations.
Yeah. Well, and it's just become too complicated. Yeah. And they don't need it.
It's too tricky.
Because, and the reason they don't need it is because of the next thing, which is that Genie Plus is going to change and they're going to make it more like FastPass Plus where you get to plan ahead.
Right? I know.
You just pay for it.
Why didn't you just make us pay for FastPass?
Exactly.
There's an
idea. You spent all that money.
There's an idea.
And all we wanted was paid FastPass.
Yeah.
If you're gonna charge us, just make it paid FastPass because we all know how to use that.
And you know people would have been like grumbling. But they would have done it.
And it wouldn't be anything like the grumbling for Genie Plus that has happened.
No.
So
absolutely not.
You know, we don't know a ton of details about that yet, but I'm excited because I think that will make... It'll make it so much easier because when I book clients and I have to sit there and literally be like, okay, if you get to make early entry, these are what you hit first. And then here's your list of what you book in order. Well, if you hit these rides on early entry, then just skip them for Genie Plus. And like, I mean,
and you're trying to explain this to somebody who has no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because they've probably never even been to Disney before.
They haven't.
Yeah.
And then so. I always try and like, I will say I love with Genie Plus, I love when there are parties. Because I will always send people to Magic Kingdom on a party day as their first time using Disney Genie, so they can learn how to use it.
Okay.
Because that's like really and truly the easiest way to teach somebody how to use it.
Okay.
Because there's not as many people in the park, and so they can use it and then, you know, take the evening off or whatever, or hop to another park and just enjoy it and get on what they can, but like it's less stress.
Yeah.
To learn how to actually maneuver the thing. But, like, I send somebody over spring break, and it was super busy. And I'm having to literally at 7 a.m. walk them through how to do all the stuff that I've
Oh, that's tried. The people that were there when we were there, right? Like,
right before that week.
You
know, and I tried to explain it as best I could. But until you can actually use it, you don't understand half of what I'm telling you.
Right. Yeah. Because... I don't know. Like, most people are hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that's just life.
I'm extremely hands-on.
Yeah, me too.
That's
life. It's like you're not really going to know how to use something until you've actually done it for yourself.
Yeah.
Somebody talking to you is just noise.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I try and always explain that with clients, but and they get it, kind of. But then when they get there, they really understand what I was saying.
Right. Like, oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't know how to do it. I do these podcasts with you every, I don't even know when. And I still, like, I got it. And I was just like, oh, this is what I want to do. Oh, that's out of order? Nah. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, I think I'm just too lazy.
And I mean, and that's the thing is for people who go a lot and like what's really interesting is Touring Plans has been testing like early entry against Genie Plus and they've been getting through every park by like 11 a.m.
Faster than having Genie Plus.
Yeah.
Like they're doing it
without having Genie Plus, and they're getting it done.
Yeah, but the problem
is pretty crazy. You have to do everything that they say.
No, the problem is you have to wake up early.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to do everything they say. Like, you have to be there at exactly this time and do exactly what they're saying. And I mean, I guess if you really wanted to like test it out for yourself, it would kind of be cool.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, just like something fun to do.
Yeah.
I think if I was a Florida resident and I was down there and I live there, I feel like that's kind of some stuff that I would do. Yeah, I think I would do those things.
Yeah, and if we could go a little bit more, I'd let Ben sleep in and I'd go tackle an entire park by myself and then be back by the time he woke up.
Just to see.
Yeah.
Like, just to test their theory.
Yeah. But, like, it is... The problem is like, at least with us and with most people, it's very difficult to make it to Rope Drop unless you are one of those people that likes to wake up at 5 a.m.
Not me.
Not me either.
Hate it. I'm struggling to just make it to work every day.
Yeah.
Struggling. I don't want to get out of bed.
Yeah. I prefer to sleep. Like, my internal clock is 7 a.m. Anything before that? Nope.
Mine's 10.
Yeah.
30.
Be nice. I wish.
45, 11. If it's summer, maybe 12.
Yeah.
I don't know. It gets pushed back.
Yeah.
It just continually gets later. Ugh. I'm so excited about being able to sleep in.
I know. So, So then the biggest announcement that they made is the dining plan is coming back. Yay! So starting January 9th, when you book a package, you can have a dining plan. But only two tiers of the dining plan are coming back.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. That other one was ridiculous.
Yeah, the quick service dining plan and the standard Disney dining plan or the DDP, the Disney dining plan.
Mm-hmm.
They are taking away. It used to come with two snacks, and now it's just one.
Yep.
So we're going to play a fun game. I'm going to kind of go through everything, and then we're going to play a game. So each of the plans come with a refillable mug.
Yep.
The quick service plan is two quick service meals, mm-hmm. one snack, and an alcoholic or specialty beverage, non-alcoholic drink, with each meal mm-hmm. per day. The standard or Disney dining plan is one quick service meal, one sit-down meal, and one snack per person, as well as an alcoholic or non-alcoholic specialty drink with each meal.
Okay.
So let's also talk about in 2020, the last time we had the Disney dining plans. The Disney dining plan will have been gone for like 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
The quick service dining plan was $55 per day for adults.
Right.
$26 per day for kids, and that includes tax.
Yep.
The Disney dining plan was $78 and a penny for adults and $30.51 for kids. Those both include tax.
Right.
In 2020, a character meal was averaging about $58 for lunch and dinner for adults and $35 for kids. So, yeah, and that was with tax. And that was 2020.
Right.
Now, it's $60 plus tax for adults and $38 plus tax for kids. So, about $64 and $40.50 for adults for a character meal. A quick service meal probably averages now about like $14 to $15. Alcohol is $9 to $14 depending on the type of drink. So
more if you're getting some weird cocktail.
Well, the $14
sometimes.
is your cocktail. So here's our fun game. We are going to kind of guess what we think the quick service in DDP will be when it comes back on May 31st.
Okay.
So do you want to go first?
I mean, I can.
Okay.
I got to have a note in my back pocket.
All right. I took a bunch of notes today at work and literally left them there. Like, I did all this math.
So Anna gave me homework. She knows I'm not going to do it. But I did it because it was, I mean, it was two things. It was like, come up with how much you think it's going to be for this and that. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, even I can do that. Like,
I can guess a number. I'm terrible at it because I've never won the lottery, but I'm just, you know. So I actually had those exact same prices written down, like the originals or whatever. Mm-hmm. My thought process with this was that, you know, like the last time that we used the dining plan, it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But they didn't, like, alcoholic beverages were not included.
Right.
I think maybe the last time we used it was like 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't included.
Yeah.
But the price was still the same. I'm pretty sure in 2017, the price was still the same, the 55 and the 26.
For like character dining and stuff?
Or? Yeah, no, like for the dining plan, like the 55
yeah,
a day.
It, so from between 2019 and 2020, it only went up $3. Prior to that, when they added alcoholic beverages, it did jump up, I think, like $5 a person. So yeah. It's probably like a $10 difference from 17 to 2020.
And I just kind of like, if you think about like these prices, anything prior to 2020 has like gone crazy in price.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. It's gone crazy in price. Mm-hmm. So the whole like they went from two snacks to one snack. I feel like you have to basically kind of keep these same prices even though they've taken a snack away.
Mm-hmm.
Like I kind of, that's where I started. Was yeah. I'm going to keep these exact same prices, even though you're only getting one snack now. Because everything is more expensive than what it was back when they got two snacks.
Yeah.
So kind of feel like one snack is almost equal to two snacks.
Yeah.
At this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept everything at the starting price was the same. But then I added on, like, the most expensive, like... Not the most expensive because I know there's more, but like kind of like an average of like if you were going to get a cocktail with every single meal,
mm-hmm.
it would be about $15.
Yeah.
If you look like it's very close. And I feel like all the food, everything has gone up.
Yeah.
So I added $15.
Okay.
I did not add $15 to the children though.
Okay.
I only added like less than 10.
Yeah.
To the children. So I went... Quick service as $70 for an adult and $35 for a child. And then the Disney dining plan, I popped it up to $93 for the adult and $40 for a child. That's my numbers. In my head, that's where I stand.
Okay.
Because everything is so expensive. And if I'm paying what I pay at the grocery store, I feel like those prices are going up.
Yeah. So I actually do not agree.
Good. Because that's where we need to be.
So looking at the increase in character meals and dining, character meals have gone up $5 for adults and $5 for kids. So... And if you look at the cost of everything in 2020 and what the dining plan actually cost, if you get the Disney dining plan, you are actually paying less than out of pocket to eat on it if you ate character meals every day and really use it to its fullest extent.
Yeah, but character meals take two credits.
No, they only take one. Cinderella's Royal Table takes two.
Oh, for the signature?
Yeah. Okay. Signature. Character only takes one.
Oh, character. Okay. Character
so
is
character. So
like Hoop-Dee-Doo is two.
Right.
Cinderella's two. Yep. Okay.
So, but if you actually utilize it to its fullest.
Yeah.
And do a character meal a day, you actually came out ahead on the Disney dining plan.
Well, I'm not saying that you're not going to come out ahead you do it a certain way. All I was looking at is like how much I think they're going
to. I'm just going through my.
But I think if you go to the most expensive stuff, yes, you could probably come out ahead.
Now, I think after looking at numbers and pricing everything out, that the quick service meal plan, while it's really nice to have all your quick service meals prepaid, is a terrible value.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think it was great, and now doing all this research, it is a terrible value.
You can eat way cheaper than that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. I just like having it prepaid, but like, I also don't want to overspend. Mm-hmm. Now that I haven't had it, I'm like,
It kind of puts pressure on you to make sure that you do focus on getting the most expensive things on the menu.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, you don't have to buy certain things to eat if that's not what you want. But right. then when you're prepaying, you're like, well, I feel like I need to get that steak. Or even though I'm not hungry, mm-hmm. I better order that because it's more expensive.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I actually think that the quick service is only going to go up $2.
What?
Yep. Because you're getting one less snack, which is eating up the difference. And I think that for the kids, it's going to be $30. And for the Disney dining plan, I actually think the same thing. I think it's going to be $80. It's only going to go up $2. Hmm. And I think for kids, it's going to be $35.
Okay. I mean, I hope that's the case.
Because here...
But when I go to the grocery store, those
prices
tell me
different. Well, I know, but Disney also gets negotiated prices because they order so much food.
Well, I hope that that's what Disney does.
The other thing is that I'm thinking about the things that they said that they're trying because they know that prices have gone up so much.
Yeah.
And the Disney dining plan, and they make a ton of money on the Disney dining plan because people don't use all their snacks and people don't like always pick the most expensive thing on the menu.
We're vegetarians.
Yeah. And if you're a vegetarian.
When we would get the dining plan, we were vegetarians. Oh. But most of the time when we would get the dining plan, it was free.
Yeah.
So we weren't really having to pay for it. So it didn't matter. You know, we were still coming out on the good. But if you're a vegetarian using the dining plan, you are not getting a good deal.
No, you're not.
Because you always are getting the cheapest thing on the menu.
Yeah. Well, now with the plant-based Impossible stuff, it's about the same as a burger. But, you know.
It's, yeah.
But it's still
less expensive.
But, like,
you go to those fancy restaurants, you're not paying anywhere near what somebody else would be paying.
So those are kind of, like, that's kind of my reasoning. Like, I think that Disney, that is a win that it can give to people to be like, oh, look, we kept the dining plan the same, like, really close to the same price as it was in 2020, even though they took something away, they can show that they haven't actually increased the price.
Yeah, well, I definitely hope that's the case.
Yeah.
I, in my head, I'm just like, I pay so much for everything now. That I just go straight to everything is just super expensive.
Well, and the prices that you quoted, that DDP, that's what that weird new plan that they had come up with, that you could either eat two sit-down meals or you could eat, like, you had flexibility in your, it's like the Disney Dining Plan Plus. You could either eat two quick service meals a day or two sit-down meals a day. Like, you could use it either way. It was only around for, like, a month.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, the one that I always knew was, you know, the deluxe.
Yeah, and then there
was
the deluxe.
Three meals a day.
So in 2020, when the park shut down, there were four different meal plans.
I didn't do dining plan. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't done the dining plan in so long.
Yeah, we did the quick service one in 2019, and we maximized it as much as we could. Looking back on it, though, after doing the math I did today, I was like, I will not be buying that because it is not necessarily a good deal because I don't drink it every meal.
Yeah.
And my kids don't drink alcoholic beverages. They are not old enough. And my husband does not drink an alcoholic beverage. So it literally is not worth it unless I wish they had a middle ground for like 11, you know, the 10 to 20 year olds that can't drink alcohol.
Which is what we've always said about that's what you were just talking about with the dessert party.
Yeah. Dessert. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you gotta do something for that middle age range because they're not drinking alcohol.
I know.
And you're making a fortune on them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where they're making their money.
That's where they're making their money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're not, they can't drink the alcohol, but they can still pay the price.
Yeah. So. Exactly. So, I mean, I think, you know, I am so excited that it's coming back because it really is for people where this is their, like, their big one and only trip, or they may not go back for four more years or even 2 years.
Yeah.
And like that Disney dining plan, to have it prepaid and to feel all inclusive and to not have to stress, especially like if you're going to be able to prepay now for Disney Genie.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Then your trip is paid for.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
All you're doing is spending money.
Exactly. And it's so, because people ask me all the time, how much should I budget for food? And I'm like,
it is really tricky.
Yeah.
Really,
I'm like,
tricky.
$1,500? Like,
yeah.
We spend like 2,500, but there's five of us. And right. like, you know, but still, like, it is.
But that's what I told Keisha and Tyler.
That's your biggest
Keisha
cost.
And Tyler, we told, John and I both came up with the same number. We both said, you need about $1,500 for food.
Yeah.
That's what we said.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm just sitting here thinking in my head, like, if they're spending $200 to $300 on a character meal,
mm-hmm.
if you do two to three of those, and then you do quick service for everything else, but like a full day at Epcot and the festival,
yeah,
you're spending, I mean, we spend several hundred dollars yeah. on, you know.
Yeah. That's why I like to do the gift cards. I do the like gift cards on my wrist because yeah. then like I'm like, okay, $50, $50, you know, like here's your money, go get what you want.
Yeah.
And then it's a little easier to get them to not spend too much and us to not spend too much. But yeah, I mean, because yeah. for a family of five, for quick service, it's $100 for us to eat each meal.
Right.
I mean, that's why we don't eat breakfast out. But
we never, I don't know. I just, for me, like we don't eat breakfast. We don't eat big breakfast. We just don't. So we always have our coffee in the room and normally have a granola bar and we're set.
Yeah.
And then we'll eat lunch and then dinner. So it works out. And that is a savings.
Yeah.
That is nice because you can bring that from home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. And that, yeah. And I, saves you time, I do too. Think if you eat in the resort for lunch, it's a little cheaper than eating out in the parks. Mm-hmm. So that's another way to kind of save some money.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about Jumbo because I'm telling you that Tremola or however you pronounce it.
The bowl.
Bowls.
Thing.
They are so good.
Yeah.
So good. So, yeah.
I'm excited for Jumbo because it's just pretty and they have so Boma.
Pretty. Yeah.
Boma.
Yay. So, I think, you know, do you have anything else that you want to add to the dining plan or anything?
I don't think so, honestly. Okay. I think we pretty much hit it. If you're one of those people that wants to prepay for everything, the dining plan is awesome. It really is.
Yeah, and I really do think after, again, crunching the numbers today, I think that depending on what it comes back as, if it comes back where I think it's going to come back,
then it's
worth totally it. Worth it. If it comes back where you think it's going to come back,
it's rough.
Yeah. I don't think it's worth it. But, you know, so it'll be interesting come May 31st. But I quick service, I would say skip it unless you're not going to do any sit-down dinners.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do any reservations, that's the one to go with.
Yeah.
But if you're doing a reservation or two.
Even just one or two, like you've messed up your whole thing.
I know.
So.
Yep. I agree. I'll agree.
All right. Well, cool. Well, thank you for listening. Be sure to check out our website, themickeymomshow.com, and go and see what we put in our park bags. I actually updated that the other day. And if you buy anything, it does help us and, you know, help us keep the lights on with this podcast, and we'd really appreciate it. You can also follow us on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at The Mickey Mom Show. And if you need help planning a Disney, Universal, or cruise vacation, you can reach out to me, Anna Eason, and I'll be glad to do all the work for you or just help guide you, and you can be fully hands-on. You can reach me at anna.eason@cruiseplanners.com. This email and all the information we talked about will be in today's show notes.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening. We do appreciate it. I hope you guys have a magical week. See you real soon. Off we go.